Opening your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Colossians and chapter 3. And I'm going to read just one verse from our text this morning. Sometimes I read multiple verses or a whole chapter, but this morning, just reading one verse, the 15th verse of the third chapter of Colossians. I said 15, and actually meant 16. The 16th verse almost scared me there. I looked at verse 15 and thought, nope, that's not what we're looking at. Verse 16, if you have your place now in Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let us pray. Father, now, by your Holy Spirit, who was promised to us to be the Comforter, promised to show us the things of Christ, and promised to guide us into all truth, may you, by your Spirit this morning, have freedom, liberty to work and move in our hearts. May the word of Christ dwell in our hearts in all wisdom. Bless us through the teaching of thy word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What an amazing text that is. How much food for the soul there is simply to meditate on that truth. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word richly is not a very common word in our New Testament. It's only found a few times in the Greek New Testament. It's translated richly. It's also translated abundantly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. It is used of the Holy Spirit in Titus chapter 3, which is shed abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so it is to be abundant or rich within your people. It says, let it dwell in you richly. To dwell there. To abide there. But before we consider the word that is to dwell in us richly in all wisdom, notice with me how it is expressed in this verse. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, obviously, Christ is God. He is fully God. But specifically, the text says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. That's somewhat unusual, isn't it? We tend to find the word of God, and we speak of the word of God, which abideth forever. But here, it is specifically the word of Christ. Now, contemplate with me what we find in Hebrews, which was referenced this morning in Sunday school. God in times past spake to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by the Son. And then we go to chapter 2 of Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things. And obviously, the word of God, the entirety of Scripture, is to dwell in our hearts richly. But more specifically here, the word of Christ is to dwell in our hearts. Let the word of the Messiah dwell in you. Let the word of the Savior, the promised one, dwell in you. And what do we learn of Christ in John 1? In the beginning was the Word, was Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was inseparable from God because the Word was God. and the Word became flesh. And so when you begin to understand the whole biblical concept, this is the Word of Christ which is to dwell in us. But there's more than that. Because Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And in times past, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and the words of the prophets, they are the very Word of God given by inspiration. But here we find Christ Himself speaking to men on earth. And consider the prophet Isaiah by himself, under the control of the Holy Spirit, and he is penning the words. And then think of Christ on the mountain speaking to the multitude, and the entire multitude there on the mountain, they were hearing the very Word of God with their ears, not by inspiration as the prophets, but in person. And we have that Word. We have it right here. Oh, let it dwell in your hearts richly, not just on the surface. And consider the parable of the sower. What was the problem with the Word in the parable of the sower? Why did the Word fail? The Word didn't fail. The Word was perfect. The seed was faultless. But some of that seed fell among stones. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell among thorns. You see, the problem was not with the Word. It was not with the seed. It was with the soil. The soil wasn't rich. The stones was not rich soil. The thorny ground was not rich soil. The wayside was not rich soil. But it fell into some soil and brought forth manyfold, a hundredfold. And so let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. But then consider what Christ Himself says about His Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He shall come in His glory and in His Father's and of the holy angels. Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love Me, he will keep My word. And my friend, we love the Old Testament and we love the law, but those things were simply the schoolmaster. And what was the purpose of the schoolmaster? They were to bring us to Christ. And so now as we come to the New Testament, we find, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Ah, you see, the law could not save. But the Word of Christ is salvation. The law was ordained of God that it had its purpose and it fulfilled that purpose. And it was a reflection of the very nature of Christ Himself. But now we're no longer under the schoolmasters. Let the Word of Christ dwell in your hearts richly. Why do you not understand My speech, John 8:34? Even because ye cannot hear My words. Think about who Christ is speaking to. He's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. They knew all about the Old Testament. They knew all about the law. But Christ said, you can't understand because you can't hear My words. Oh, my friend, if you have the Word of Christ, if you understand the Word of Christ, should it not dwell in you richly? And Christ commended the church at Philadelphia in the book of Revelation because they have kept My word. Our text says, let the Word dwell in you richly. Let it dwell there. We need to look at that word dwell briefly. It occurs 7 times in our New Testament in 5 different verses. And I think, as always, I say the best way to understand any term in Scripture is to look at other verses that use the same term. And so in Romans 8, verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raiseth up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now, the first time we find dwell in that verse is a different Greek word. But the Greek word at the end, that dwelleth in you, is the same word that we find here in Colossians 3:16. But it's interesting because there in Romans 8:11, where it says the Spirit that dwelleth in you, it uses the word dwelleth twice in a row. And if you use spell check on your computer, it'll come up with a red line because you've doubled the word. But what Romans 8 actually says is the Spirit that dwelleth, dwelleth in you. In other words, the indwelling Spirit, he dwells in you. And so it's doubled. You know what? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it's doubled. Just as it is here. It doesn't show up in our English, but where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," the word "let" is the word "dwell" in the Greek. In other words, dwell, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly. The indwelling word, the word that dwells in your heart. Remember what happened to some of the seed? It was by the wayside, and the birds of the air came along and snatched it up. And when Christ explained the parable of the seed, he said, the bird of the air is Satan, who comes and steals away the seed that is sown. Oh, but to the believer, let it dwell. Let it stay and remain in your heart, and not just on the surface, but richly. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then again, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, "I will dwell with them," is the promise, and it's the same word. In 2 Timothy 5, verse 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, where it's talking about the faith that was in Eunice and Lois, and Paul says it dwells in you too. It's the same word again. And so, let the word of Christ dwell in you. That's the basis of this word. But what are the implications? What are the implications for us as believers if the word of Christ dwells in us? First of all, the word of Christ is not a tenant. A tenant may stay with you for a while, but a tenant has no permanency. A tenant pays rent. A tenant is there simply by invitation, and a tenant can be evicted if we don't like what the tenant does. If we don't like the tenant's words, if we don't like the tenant's attitudes, of course, in the state of Maryland, you can't kick out renters, but or squatters.
Right.
But you understand what I'm saying. A tenant dwells in your house temporarily by permission, and you kick them out if you don't like the things they say. But the word of Christ is not a tenant in the life of the believer. The word of Christ is not a guest. We are guests here in the Cluth home this morning. They graciously open their home every week for us to assemble here. But I am not free to go into any room of this house that I desire to go into. There are areas that I don't go into. There are drawers that I cannot open. There are closets that I cannot look into. I can't come in and move the furniture around. I can't change the color of the walls. I can't even throw out the trash.
What about you?
Well, but let's say I decide that love seat is trash. I don't like it. I want it gone. But that's the way some people try to treat the Word of God. Oh, it can come in, but don't go in that closet. Oh, yes, I have the Word of God in my heart, but this drawer is locked. I don't want the Word of God to change the color of the walls of my house. And I certainly don't want the Word of God to tell me what needs to be disposed of. You see, the Word of God is not to be a guest in our house, because a guest cannot go into every corner. A guest cannot dispose of the junk. A guest cannot change the colors of the walls. A guest cannot rearrange the furniture. But if the Word of God dwells in my heart, there is no limit to what it is allowed to do. It can change the entire color of the house. It can move the furniture. It can go into every drawer. It can open every door. And it has perfect liberty to throw out the junk. You see, if the Word of Christ dwells in your heart richly, it's not a guest. Yeah. It doesn't have the limitations that are placed upon a guest. The Word of Christ dwelling in the heart of the believer is not a hired servant. There are amazing benefits from the Word of God. I reap great things if the Word of God truly dwells in my heart. Mm-hmm. But you see, if I hire someone to work in my home, I'm the boss. I tell them what to do. I tell the hired servant to go here and wash those dishes. I tell the hired servant to vacuum that floor. I tell the hired servant to make that bed. I tell the hired servant to carry out this, but leave that. But rather than the Word of God being the hired servant in the heart, the Word of God is the master. It is the Word of God that tells me, wash the dishes. It is the Word of God that tells me, vacuum the floor. It is the Word of God that says, that is junk, throw it out. And so the Word of God is not the hired servant that dwells in the heart of the believer. The Word of God is not a decoration. This home is very beautifully decorated. It's marvelous. There are scriptures on any wall you look at, and that is glorious. But a lot of people, the Word of God is just a decoration in their heart. It's a dusty Bible. It is there because, well, I'm a Christian, so I have to have the Word in my heart. But you see, we get tired of decorations and we rearrange. We take down this and we put up that. Most of us probably have some form of seasonal decoration. My wife collects nutcrackers. She got her first one from her uncle when she was a teenager, and she has a marvelous collection of nutcrackers, and it's a real challenge for me every year to find another one that's unlike any she has. This year I got her a zebra nutcracker. Crazy looking thing, but she loves it. But those are seasonal. They don't stay around all year. You put them up and you take them down. You see, the Word of God is not something we put up on Sunday in our heart and then take it down the rest of the week. And also, it's not there just because we think it's pretty. Rather, the Word of God is to dwell in our hearts. And I know some people have lamps that are decorations. But the Word of God is more than a decorative lamp if it truly dwells in the heart of the believer. Rather, it is that which giveth light to all that are in the room. It shines into every crack, every corner. It shows off the dust and the cobwebs. A lot of things can look very clean until they're exposed to a very bright light. And so the Word of God in the heart of the believer is not a decoration. But rather, the word of Christ dwelling in the life of the believer is the very reflection of Christ himself. You may have noticed in all those passages the seven references of this, seven uses of this word dwell in our New Testament, that they all were either speaking of Christ himself or of the Holy Spirit or the Word. It doesn't talk about people or things. It is Christ in the Word. And you see, if the Word of Christ truly dwells in me richly, it will be the reflection of Christ himself. For it is his Word. It is his Word that cleanses. It is his Word that transforms. It is his Word that removes the junk. It is his Word that is the master, that controls all things. And so, if the Word of Christ is dwelling in me, that will be the very reflection of Christ. Now, if we as believers truly have the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly, not just on the surface, it will teach us in wisdom. And that's what the text says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In all wisdom. And so, what does that wisdom mean? Well, it means, first of all, that the word of Christ is to be pure. It's pure. It's not polluted. It's not influenced by my opinion of it. You see, if the word of Christ is dwelling in me richly in all wisdom, the wisdom's not coming from me, the wisdom's coming from the word that dwells. The wisdom is not affected by my opinion of it, but rather it is a pure word which is to dwell within the believer. Mm-hmm. Let it dwell in you richly. It doesn't say anything about foolishness. Doesn't say anything about opinions. Doesn't say anything about your favorite commentary. Doesn't say anything about what the TV preacher says. It just says, let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And so, this is to be a pure word. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You see, for a lot of people, all the word of God is something they can twist and turn to justify the color of their walls. They use the word of God as something they can twist and turn to justify the junk. The things that the Word of God says to remove, but I can manipulate it a little bit. I found a fabulous quote this week, and I shared it with my wife. Winston Churchill said, "The only statistics that I believe in are the ones that I have doctored myself." See, you can take statistics and make them say anything you want them to say. And so he said the only ones he believed were the ones he doctored himself. Well, that's the way some people treat the Word of God. They twist it and turn it. But this Word dwelling in us is to dwell in all wisdom. It is to be God's wisdom and not my wisdom. Because the foolishness of the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Not handling the Word of God deceitfully. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse chapter 2 Corinthians 2 verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Not corrupting the word of God. You see, the word of God is pure. The word of Christ is pure, but we corrupt it. The word of Christ is pure, as we saw there in our responsive reading in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 this morning. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver is tried in the furnace, purified seven times. Isn't that a glorious, glorious truth? Purified seven times. But I would submit to you this morning that the word of Christ is pure because Christ is pure. Mm-hmm. He was without sin. And so, this word that is to dwell into us, within us, richly, must dwell as a pure word. But then what are we to do with it? Is it just simply to dwell in our hearts? Is that enough, that the word of Christ dwells in our hearts richly in all wisdom? Well, if we look again at the text, there is more. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And so it's not enough for it simply to dwell in my heart and to be bundled up here. I may be filled with the word of God, but that's not enough. That's not the end of it. And so turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Here the Apostle Paul is calling upon the congregation of the saints to pray for the preachers of the gospel, that the word of the Lord, and notice it doesn't say the word of God, Lord there is Christ, we can insert Christ there, that the word of Christ, the word of the Lord, may have free course and be glorified. And that word free course obviously is an athletic term. It means to run quickly. That the word of Christ, the word of the Lord, may run quickly. It also is that the word of the Lord may spread speedily, that it may be swift to salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May the word of the Lord have free course. Most of us probably at some time or another have been in a canoe. Some of us have actually even tipped over in a canoe. But we know what it is to ride down a smooth river. And then we know what it is to hit the rapids. And the rapids cause turbulence, and there's an impediment in the way. May the word of the Lord have free course. May every impediment be removed. May it go forth. What are the impediments to the word of God? Well, the impediments to the word of God can come from Satan. Remember again the parable of the sower, where the birds of the air gathered up some of the seed. It didn't fall on good ground, and it was stolen away. But the impediments can come within the one who bears the word as well. May the word of the Lord have free course. May there be nothing in me that hinders it. May the junk be removed by the word. That the word may have free course to flow through my house, through my heart, and that the word of God may have free course to flow from my house, from my heart, to others. But there's another element in that text there in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. May the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified. May the word of God be glorified and exalted. How is the word of Christ glorified? It is glorified in the accomplishment of his purpose. It is glorified as souls are saved, as houses are cleansed by it, as it goes forth to do the purpose that it was sent for. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. May we as a congregation pray that the word of Christ may have free course, it may be unhindered, spreading speedily, and may it be glorified. And when it talks about the Word being glorified, it's not just talking about these pages bound in leather, but it's talking about the exaltation of the one who gave the Word. Yeah. It is bound inseparably to Christ, who is the living Word, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so it may be glorified. May it have free course. May it be published. We read in Acts chapter 13 that when the Gentiles received the Word of God, they glorified it. It uses that same phrase to read exactly. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the Word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's Acts 13:48. And the Word of the Lord was published throughout all Asia. The Word was sent forth. May the Word of God be published. And Paul was willing to give up his life for the publishing of the Word. He said, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed. I'm able to go even to Rome." And he knew that when he got to Rome, the Jews would be there and he would be killed. And so may the Word of the Lord dwell in us richly. May that Word have free course and be glorified. May it be a pure Word. The Word of God is eternal. And that's where I would like to conclude this morning, in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll read the verses for you. "For as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest for you in these last times, being born again, not of corruptible seed," not of seed that perishes. Again, remember the parable of the sower. Some of that seed fell on bad ground. It wasn't the seed's fault. The seed was not corruptible, but the soil did not receive it. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is grass. The glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of the Lord dwelleth, or endureth forever. And this is the word of the gospel which we preach unto you. And so, may the word of the Lord dwell in us richly in wisdom. And by that word, may we admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Is the Word of God in your heart the master? Or is the Word of God in your heart a guest? Let us stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of Christ that we had this morning. Lord, we remember the words of Christ to the Pharisees that they could not understand his words because they couldn't hear them. Father, we thank you that you've given us a hearing. Oh Lord, may your word, may the word of Christ, have that liberty in our hearts and lives to change the color of the walls, to rearrange the furniture, to look into every closet and drawer of our heart, and to carry out the junk. Lord, bless your word to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.